Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Monday, March 31st, fifth Monday of the month, which means our quarterly visit with State House Representative District 43, second-term Republican from the Shelbyville-Martin area, Rochelle Smith on the other side of our table. Madam Speaker, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's good
Speaker
to be here.
Pro Tem. Yes. I need to make that thing, but she is second on the gavel, and a lot of times she does wield the gavel.
Mm-hmm. We've had to do that a couple times.
Not all the time does Matt Hall do that, but and to be honest with you, and then we'll get to the questions and stuff like that. When you see somebody bang the gavel, I know I see it in the House with the U.S. House proceedings. It's not the actual speaker that bangs the gavel. It's somebody else that does it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know whether or not it's the same in the legislature as
yep.
it is.
Yep, that would be me, the pro tem.
Okay, so you're the one that keeps...
Keeps everything in order and in line.
Okay.
Or tried my best to.
Okay, we will behave. If you got a question for Rochelle, 616-395-1450. 616-395-1450. Since we chatted and since you got the gavel, has life changed a lot for you?
It has. It certainly has. It's a completely different role. Number one, come January, House Republicans are in majority, and I was elected unanimously by the legislature, all 110 members, to be the Speaker Pro Tem. And that is truly an honor. But yes, there has been a lot of learning. It's just until you've been in that situation and position, you can't really prepare yourself. I did some trainings and so on, but you know, you just kind of learn trial by error, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, indeed. I say things have changed not only with handling the extra responsibilities, nuts and bolts of it, but also as a leader, mm-hmm. being in leadership. Basically, Matt Hall is the voice for the House Republicans. But to a certain extent, even though there is a House floor leader on the Republican side, your voice is pretty much up there as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's the second in command, if you will. It's Assistant Speaker Pro Tempore. And that comes along with a lot of additional work too, you know, caucus management, helping the speaker with certain things, and just stepping up in every way that I can. You know, but it's good. I enjoy it. A lot of growing and learning by all of us. Half of our caucus too. Remember, we only came in last year with a very large freshman class and served in the minority. So many of us have never chaired committees. A lot of learning curve in the majority now as well. So that's been an interesting but good new role.
If you got a question for State House Representative Rochelle Smith, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. One other question I want to bring up along the lines of being the Speaker Pro Tem, and I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, what your responsibilities are, or you feel your responsibilities are, is a little bit more broad, mm-hmm. making sure things run smoothly in the House, maybe dealing with overall issues that are before the House, such as roads, mm-hmm. that perhaps you have to sort of remind yourself or make sure you don't lose sight of some of the issues that your district has.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Because there are a lot of issues and priorities that every member has for our state, for our communities that we represent. And it's, you know, you have to be cognizant of that. You know, why did I come to Lansing? Why did I want to run for office? And make sure that those are still in the forefront of my mind. Thankfully, as a former township clerk and local official, primarily running for me was our election process and helping with that and getting things cleaned up there. And so I am able to chair the Election Integrity Committee as well this term, which that is the only other committee I am serving on because of the additional work and time it is serving as pro tem in leadership.
We'll talk a little bit about some of the election issues. There's a couple of things that have happened since last we chatted, and I'll bring that up as we go along. I want to bring up a point. When we had State Representative Joey Andrews on earlier this morning, we were talking about term limits and some of the issues that have that come along with that, where he and I think are in the same boat on this. I'm not a big fan of term limits. Mm-hmm. I really believe that an educated electorate is the best term limit to be able to vote, know who's in there and vote him in or vote her in or vote him or her out along those lines. What I've seen in Lansing, and a few pundits have agreed with me, and I think Joey's on my boat on this one as well, is that we have seen the rise of the bureaucracy and of lobbyists since we had term limits put in, where legislators aren't really running things in Lansing. It's those bureaucrats, it's those lobbyists that are not accountable to the people that are doing the running.
That's right. There are a lot of lobbyists. Our government has grown exponentially. So between the bureaucracy and the lobbyists, you're absolutely right. Many times they're the ones running kind of the program there, as far as what bills are necessary to take up and priorities and so forth. But I do believe we're going to see a shift and a change in that because we're going to see lawmakers staying around a little bit longer and understanding, we don't need to rely on them as much. And we need to do the work ourselves of digging in and looking into oversight and so much more than what traditionally has not been able to be done.
All right, let's talk about some of the issues going on in Lansing. First of all, dealing with the roads package, and it did clear the House, the package that Speaker Matt Hall did put forward. There were five Democrats who went with the Republicans on this. Joey Andrews of St. Joseph was one of the five Democrats. Now it's the balls in Winnie Brinks and the state Senate's court, as well as Governor Whitmer. They're looking to maybe work with the House Republicans on maybe a compromise bill. Can you see a compromise in this regard?
Well, I certainly hope so, but it's important to note that the Senate Democrats have had nothing yet that they have produced and really said that, what their plan is. Governor Whitmer has come out signaling, and some of her propositions align with what we have put out. But again, it's going to fall largely on the Senate leader, Winnie Brinks, and her caucus to be able to either come to the table and start negotiating with us, or if they're going to have a plan of their own, and then we can make something work. But we have so far seen nothing.
And that, unfortunately, has been often the case when we've had split government before you came in. But yet you probably are aware that a lot of times the House would send bills up, especially budget bills, and the Senate just doesn't do anything. And they're going to say the same thing. And we saw that at the end of last term, where the Senate had some stuff and the previous House Speaker didn't do anything on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we're hopeful that maybe they'll just take a look at this and say, this is a good plan. I don't know why you wouldn't want to get on board with this plan. As you mentioned, this was a bipartisan pass out of the House. There was a lot of thought put into this. $3.1 billion allocated to our roads without raising any taxes, which is so important to note. And it's sustainable. This is permanent funding here that is provided. So, this is more work that has been done in the 6 years that we have had our governor, who her number one issue that was running on fixing the darn roads has not done.
616-395-1450. If you have a question for State House Representative Rochelle Smith, 616-395-1450. Let's talk a little bit about some of the election and ballot matters that your committee has come up with that some are saying, it restricts voters' rights. Others are saying some of the measures which mirror what we've seen coming, possibly coming out of Washington. I believe in a Texas law, a congressman is involved with that, trying to maybe bring it up to here. Some of these measures are to preserve election integrity.
That's right.
There is a little bit of a line that has to be balanced, making sure people have the right to vote, but also making sure that that right is not, shall we say, abused.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's critical. I mean, in my opinion, if we can't fix our elections and make sure that they are really, truly safe and secure, and that only U.S. citizens are voting in our elections, if we can't do that, then really what does matter? If we have, you know, corruption and fraud in our elections, which I know that the Democrats don't want to talk about because we're automatically labeled as election deniers. But truthfully, there's been a lot of that going on for decades. And so we're starting to see that, and we're revealing that. We've had a lot of interesting activity going on in my committee, particularly in the House. And it's drummed up a lot of news. I haven't been on so many podcasts and radio interviews, and it's been a good thing, though. I think it's important to show the public that we are serious about doing everything that we can to protect our vote here in Michigan and across the nation. And you're right. There is a ballot initiative that is going to be coming here into Michigan. Actually, Majority Floor Leader Brian Postumus has introduced House Joint Resolution B, which would require proof of citizenship and photo ID. Now, because that would be amending the Constitution is why it's a House Joint Resolution, and we would need two-thirds of the legislature to pass that in order for that to become law, because it would be a constitutional amendment. If that doesn't happen, which it likely won't, because of the divided government that we have, there is an outside group, as you mentioned, from Texas, a group that did successfully get this ballot measure passed in 8 states last year in 24. And it simply is the same, requiring proof of citizenship and photo ID to vote. So they are going to be going before the Board of Canvassers in April, I believe, for the language on that. And then they can begin collecting their signatures to be on the ballot in 2026.
Now, by the way, if you have a question for Rochelle Smith, the State House Representative, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. That leads to a point, and this is maybe not a legislative point, Rochelle, but it does. I think we've seen some lawmakers try to address this in terms of outside groups trying to come in and influence Michigan policy, Michigan politics. You mentioned about the group in Texas with this the possibility of having a ballot initiative, a petition initiative for elections. We know of One Fair Wage, the Southern California group that has been pushing for the reform of minimum wage and tip wage and sick leave. Maybe to the detriment of small businesses. Mm-hmm. What can be done to make sure that if it's a Michigan matter, it's taken care of by Michigan mm-hmm. interest and not so much from out of state?
Yeah, I would love to see something like that pass because, as you mentioned, so many of these things that are completely reshaping Michigan are coming in. They're outside groups from California, New York, Chicago, with all this big money behind them, and they're changing our laws here in Michigan. I mean, promote the vote was done in 2022 with proposal 2, changing our whole election process. We had proposal 3 the same year with the abortion that completely changed everything, and One Fair Wage in 2018. And you're right, they're completely reshaping Michigan by these initiatives. So something has to be done in looking into this. And one of the interesting things is we are finding that these nonprofit 501c3s are set up in a way to where they are getting so many people out there to participate in voting, doing these voter registration drives. And it's a way to be funneling millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars into into these nonprofit for charity, you know, charity non-for-profit groups, and they're getting so many people on our voting rolls, and it's something that we do have to stop. I sent a letter along with 21 other lawmakers last week to the U.S. Attorney Pam Bondi for them to look into that, because they are tied to very partisan groups that are out there doing this.
And the thing is, I think, you know, once if you see something you don't really particularly agree with, do some homework.
Mm-hmm.
Get to, you know, and in this day and age, you Google one fair wage and you find out from a balance, more than just one source, maybe two or three or four different sources, maybe with different angles. Okay, what did they think about this? What if they reported on this? What if they didn't report on this? Whatever. And then try to get a fair thing. I've found some stuff about one fair wage that, let's just say, that's not a group that is, I don't think, has Michigan interests in mind.
No. And Mothering Justice was another one, part of that group as well. And they absolutely don't. And unfortunately, the average voter isn't taking the time to look into that and understanding. And oftentimes, these ballot proposal languages are painted very, very good. Like, it tells the public, yeah, we want to have a higher minimum wage. Sure, that sounds great. So we vote for it, not understanding all the other things that are attached to it. So it's important to be educated, for sure.
And one of the problems I have with a higher minimum wage is, yes, you know, you want to have a living wage. Some would want to have a living wage and all that. Somebody's got to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody,
the small businesses, right?
Not just small businesses, but all businesses. Mm-hmm. It's going to raise the their overhead's going to be up.
Cost of everything will go up.
Cost of living goes up, and any benefits from the living wage gets absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back to square one.
You are, and it's not a win-win. It costs the employer, it costs the consumer, even the employee who is making a higher wage. Now it's costing them more to live. So, yeah, it's a real problem.
Rochelle, one would think right off of the bat between the tip wage / minimum wage / paid sick leave legislation and roads that now, well, wipe the hands, house can go, you know, can relax. You got a problem. It's called budget, trying to get one passed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we did pass a government prevention shutdown plan about a few weeks back. And that was in the event of a shutdown, which hopefully we do not want to have. But there's been a lot of talk about that in Lansing amongst the Senate Democrats, especially, that we thought, well, we're going to get ahead of this. We're going to be responsible and have something in place in the event that there can't be negotiations and a budget that's agreed upon. So we were able to pass that bipartisan through the House as well. You know, we're going to just do everything that we can to make this work, but we are going to be very thoughtful in going through all of the budget line items, because as you mentioned, our bureaucracy has grown out of control, and some of these departments need to be reined in. So there's going to be a very close look at each and every one of those departments and agencies and where we can cut. We're going to be doing that, kind of like what's going on federally with our DOGE. We've got a budget hawk, if you will, with Chair Anne Boleyn, who is doing an amazing job so far, and her nickname is actually Boge, B with a B-O-G-E, and we're serious about that.
Speaking about the roads plan, one of my colleagues in one of our other stations said that when Speaker Hall last week said, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, levy more for EV owners for road repairs. The line was, Governor Whitmer has been asking for revenue enhancements to help pay for roads. Now, Speaker Hall, she now is a top GOP ally in Speaker Hall. And I saw that and I said, wait a minute, All he's talking about was EVs. He's not talking about an overall a spike on taxes to help pay for roads at all. He was just saying, hey, EV owners need to pay their fair share.
Yeah. And that's right, because, you know, there's more and more of them on the roads, and that there's a deficit there because of that. And so it's something that we're looking into. And I'm curious to see if there is anything from the Democrats in negotiations that do happen, if that will be part of the final road plan, if you will.
One other thing, too. A caller asked Joey Andrews, why wasn't any of the $9 billion surplus devoted to roads? He gave the line that $9 billion was mostly due to one-time payments that would not be able to be sustainable, and we would be back 2 or 3 years down the road in the same boat as we are in now. I don't know whether or not that's a real good argument, because, to be honest with you, yeah, you might sink the $9 billion in it, but you pass 3 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And yes, maybe you're going to have that same discussion later on, but still, you know, you don't have as much to do.
Absolutely. I mean, that $9 billion could have gone a very long way and it would have impacted all Michigan residents, right? Using our roads. Instead, it was frivolously wasted on pet projects and just blown away, and nothing to really show for this as far as a good use of the taxpayers' dollars and a return on investment for everyday use of our driving to the grocery store, to school, to work. So I strongly disagree with that, to where it could have been used for critical infrastructure, you know, our bridges too, and all of that. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask I wouldn't say a provocative question, but a tough one to wrap up our conversation, Rochelle. And we touched upon this a little bit earlier with the government shutdown legislation that the House had cleared. Do you still feel confident we can get a budget passed, if not by not on the governor's desk by July 1, mm-hmm. to have something so that we don't have government shutdown on October 1st?
Yeah, I do think we can. I don't think it's going to happen by July 1, but our hope and our goal as in House Republicans is for this to come out by the end of August or September at the latest. And, you know, time will tell. It will be interesting to see what the Senate Dems, how involved they're going to be with this and the communication. So far, it hasn't been a good sign, but I think that they see that we're serious about getting work done. So my hope is that we won't see that. In the event that that does happen, we do have a backup plan.
The reason why I'm bringing it up now, because 6 months from now, mm-hmm. technically, even though September only has 30 days in it, 6 months from now is when a budget needs to be in place.
Yep, you're right. By October 1.
And today being March 31st, April 1 tomorrow, that's 6 months away. If you need to get a hold of Rochelle Schmidt, if you are in her District 43, her office is 517-373-0615, 517-373-0615. We're online, gophouse.org, and scroll down in the roll-down menu to Rochelle Schmidt, and you'll be able to find out what's going on and contact her via online purposes. As always, Rochelle, thank you very much for joining us and passing on some information. Look forward to seeing you again probably in June.
You're welcome, Gary. God bless.
Thank you very much, Rochelle Schmidt, on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.